let me tell you something, dude. One place I'm not banned is Butts and Seats Podcast, brother. My main man, Frank Harris, and Josh the Thunder from Down Under Armour review WCW podcast, man, and they're from the 90s.
Black Blood's music, it's fucking hilarious, because he looks like the combination of Kane and the members of Doom, and his music sounds like a breaker from Beverly Hills 90210.
There's also interviews and special episodes, man, and you can get it for free, brother, on iTunes and Stitcher. What you gonna do when Butts and Seats run wild on you, man?
This is FNX.
Don't ask me for any fucking autographs at the matches. Fuck all of you.
Oh, yeah. Was it you that had somebody posted on Facebook that, like,
me.
Oh.
It was me.
It was you. Okay.
It was me that was rudely ambushed by some fucking retard who thought that because he paid some third-party promoter $20 to come to a wrestling show, that he had the right to invade my personal space, shove a poster in my face with a marker, and tell me to fucking sign this. Fuck him. So, yes, I ribbed him, and I signed somebody else's name.
Awesome.
Because I don't have to sign your shit. Fuck you.
Whose name was it?
I'm pretty positive it was Shooter's. Because I signed over Shooter's face. That I remember. For sure. I remember doing that. But I don't remember. I'm pretty positive I wrote his name. Look, and then coincidentally, because of that interaction, other kids came up and politely asked me and interacted with me like a human being. And I signed their shit with my actual name. But come on, dude. This fucking idiot.
Did the guy actually say, fucking sign this?
Yeah.
No shit. Oh, fuck that.
And he was off in this like corner. I stepped out of the building. I was coming back through to go backstage, and he's in the very far weirdo corner 20 minutes after the show's over. So why the fuck is he even still there? And then ambushes me. Do you know what I mean? It's like these fucking marks that go to the airport and ambush guys when they get off planes. Get the fuck out of here. It's crazy. So for me to refuse to do a courtesy for him for putting me in that situation, I don't apologize at all. We should have probably started with
Don't worry. The magic of editing, this will be at the top of the show. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. That's our IPW high spot, love. Fuck.
We're back for round two of the show with no name. We still haven't come up with a name. Maybe that will just be the name. The show with no name. Fuck it, we might just go with that. But how are we all? Hope you're all well and good. My name's Josh Armour. And with me today, since we haven't had healing out for a while, we had to get this guy on the line. Muhammad Ali Vaez is here with me.
What's up?
Such a out there introduction. Thank you, Ali, for getting on the line. And Todd Eastman.
The pleasure is all yours, sir. How are you?
Absolutely. It is. We are very good. How are we, fellas? First of all, Ali, what have you been up to? You just said a moment ago you're moving. So that's good times. That's always a lot of fun.
Yes, yes. We're moving on up to the east side of town. So,
hey.
Yeah, so the house is a mess, moving everything, boxes everywhere, all my shit's in different spots. It's a pain in the ass. I've been dealing with internet companies all day who want a credit card before they'll tell me when they'll come and set up my internet. It's like, I just wanted to choke these people. And the crazy thing is I got this internet provider, but once I signed up, they told me, yeah, we'll be there on October 10th to set up your service. Well, what the fuck? Who's going to go 7 weeks without internet?
Yeah, no shit. So, I had that when I moved, because I moved from Adelaide to Brisbane. And they had the whole thing where I don't know if it's everywhere, but sort of in new estates, certain people run the cables, like the broadband or the optic fibers or whatever. So you've got to find it's not under the address of the house, it's under the lot number. So if you're renting a place, you've got to ask them what the lot number is. Then you've got to find out what that company is. Then you've got to hope that the internet provider you want to go with can run through that company.
Really? That's the inside track,
yeah.
Huh?
Fuck.
Yeah. It's always funny.
Yeah, because I just used to have like naked broadband and it worked fine for me. I said, yeah, go that. But then they go, oh, no, we've got optics. Oh, that's cool. Well, I'll have that then. Oh, yeah, but now you've got to do all this and that and this, and it costs extra amount and all that jazz. So it's anything to get extra money out of you.
Yeah, but it's such a pain in the ass, dude. Like, it's not reasonable in 2016 for me, living in a civilized country, to go 7 weeks without internet. Get the fuck out of here. You're telling me you don't have enough technical support? Because if that's the case, I'm going to take a bunch of the boys and I'm going to start a internet connectivity company and make a killing, because clearly there's a need. This is ridiculous.
Oh, look, that's like, I mean, I think Ali's recently been introduced to the national sport of Australia, which is complaining about telco companies. I mean, it's pretty much our favourite pastime. Americans apparently have baseball as their favourite pastime. I don't know if that's still the case, but here it's complaining about Telstra, complaining about Optus' salespeople constantly calling you. It's about Vodafone's terrible coverage. It's about something. Like, always.
I got really lucky because I sort of lost my temper at the girl from iNet, and she just said, look, don't worry, you just give us the details and we'll take care of everything. And then they ended up taking care of it all, and I had internet, I think, about a day after I moved in. So in the end, they really did well, but they just charge an arm and a leg for what you want.
I've noticed that service across the board in this country fucking sucks. Sorry, guys. I hate to be the heel. But it's in multiple industries. Multiple industries. So it seems to be like the norm. But you were making a different point, which was way more interesting than my point. So I feel like a dick for even saying that, but still. That was my initial thought.
Well, do you think that is because of the fact that here it's like the wages are a lot higher for, say, retail employees and whatnot than it is, you know, a lot of places in the United States? And do you think that over there there's more of a mentality of like fuck, I'm relying on this like $8-$10, you know, an hour. Like, I've got to do a good job. Or do you think it's just a kind of more laid back thing, and therefore it's because people are more laid back, it's just not as, what do you call
it,
disciplined?
I think it's both.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's both. But apparently over there it's much easier to fire you, and people have to have like 2 and 3 jobs sometimes to survive over there. So
yeah.
Yeah, yes and no, but you're either that type of person or not. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you're a waiter, a professional wrestler, an engineer, whatever the fuck. You should strive to be good at what you do. You know what I mean? And if your job is in the service sector, in terms of, I need you to help me, not try to be carny with me about tricking me into paying this much money for a 2-year contract, shit like that just gets annoying. And you have salespeople like that over there too, but I just noticed it everywhere. Fast food is notorious here. It's just god-awful service.
Oh, yeah.
The state, every service I've dealt with has been a pain in the ass.
We went to Hawaii not long ago, and just like the level of service compared to over here was just unbelievable. Like your glass would barely hit the table and it's already taken away for a refill.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think it's different, man. Like, for me, one of the weird things is, like, there's no restrooms in most places. That's a very weird concept to me, because over there you have to have a restroom or you can't have a business license. It's a requirement. So if you have to take a piss, no matter where you are, you can take a piss. I've been in situations where I couldn't take a piss, and I really had to take a piss. That's a little
weird. In service stations and stuff?
Yeah, I've noticed, in the city, there's not a lot of restrooms or toilets or whatever. Even like train stations, there's really no bathrooms unless it's like, you know, for Melbourne, like Flinders Street's fucking station, like the big major one. Otherwise, you're not going to find a pisser, really.
A lot of that's back because, like, I remember back in the 90s especially, there was a big, it was all in the news and that, it was a big thing about a lot of the night spots in places like King's Cross in Sydney and that, where junkies would be, obviously, you know, that happens, they shoot up in the toilets and places like that, then they put the blue lights in.
I knew you were going to say that.
And all that sort of stuff. and from then on, it was like this, it almost has been since that point, there was a scaling back of public toilets, of places where you can go and take a piss. And it's just, it got to the point where, like, more and more I noticed out in the streets on a Sunday morning, Saturday morning, you'd notice it coming out of the club and just the whole fucking street smells like piss. Because everybody's out pissing in the street because you either can't go in if you're not going to buy a drink or whatever. People would you know, like, I need to go in the club just to take a piss. I'm not here to party. I need to go. And they won't let you in. And so, you know, where else are you going to go? And I've noticed since then it was just this constant thing of less and less and less and less. Yeah.
Yeah, it's considered definitely a health and sanitation issue over there, I'm pretty sure. Because I know for a fact it's a requirement for a business. So, anyway. Fuck, dude. Yeah, so I'm all stressed out. That's the summary right there. Your service sucks.
I don't have internet. I can't take a piss. My God, what am I going to do here?
Are you going with like the fiber or the
I'm like going for band? whatever the fuck is the best I can get.
If you can't take a shit, the last thing he's going for is fiber. If you can't take a shit, then you don't want fiber. Yeah. No.
NBN, I think, is going to be available in November. So until then, whatever the fuck it is it ADSL2? I don't know. Whatever the thing is where it's like unlimited and I don't have to fucking worry about it and it works every time. Because right now, I'm surviving on 100 gigs. And this whole concept of rationed internet is very new to me as well.
Yeah, because I noticed that in, like, again in Hawaii, I didn't have to have my phone on at all. All I had to do was have my Wi-Fi open, and I could get free Wi-Fi everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it's and then apparently, like, where I live, it's extra shitty because they haven't done basic maintenance or some shit. I don't know. There's some big, long story behind it. But in this area that I'm moving away from in, like, 8 days, it's just the shits.
So you're really looking forward to it then?
God, I can't wait, dude. I can't.
Oh, man.
Get this fucking nightmare over with. What's going on with you guys? What's going on in Adelaide, Josh?
Oh, not a great deal. Not a great deal. The weather's been good the last few days, I must say. It's been pretty good. I was actually going to ask you, Ali, what you've been up to wrestling-wise, because without having your show out for a while, we haven't had those updates on what's been happening. Actually, before we get into wrestling, how are the traffic violations holding up at the moment? What are we up to, about 4 or 5 now, or what's the count?
No, I've done extremely well. Done extremely well. I figured out that there's sign systems here that will tell you whether or not you have to pay. And if not, how long you can be there without getting a ticket. That's been drilled into my head.
Cool.
I've become very adept in cruise control. Speeding cameras have not been an issue. I've definitely gotten used to the small parking spaces and driving on this side of the road. So haven't had an incident in a long time, I'm proud to say.
That's good to hear.
I got done over dry the other week for we had a show that was right in like town sort of there, and the only place you can park are the paid parking places. But if you get there at like just after 4, it's really cheap rates. You can park for like 6 hours for $13. So I always go to this one place, but what I've forgotten, I didn't really know because I haven't really lived up here that long, is that there was the equivalent to like the Adelaide show was on.
Oh, the
Echo. All of those, the Echo. All the other cheap parking stuff had all been scrubbed. They were just going for normal rates. So I ended up paying $40 to park.
Ugh, for a show. Fuck that.
Yeah.
That's a crime, dude.
I put it in expecting to pay $14 and $40 came up and I went, oh, just totally got fucked.
That's yeah,
what are you going to do? At that point, you've got to pay it because you can't get your car out.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're fucked then. You know, I should also point out here, Josh, that I've become adept at using the public transportation system, specifically the train lines here in Melbourne. It does have for how shitty your service is, your public transportation is phenomenal. So that's probably attributed to my dramatic reduction in parking and speeding tickets.
Oh, it's very handy, especially in, like in New South Wales, like in Sydney. I was over there earlier in the year and flew to the airport, obviously. Met my mate there, and then we just took the train from there, and it took us straight to Darling Harbour. Like, bang, right there.
That's awesome.
It was really good.
Because that was all put in for the Olympics in 2000. That's why.
Yeah.
They pumped so much money into that public transport because they knew how many people they were getting in for the Olympics. But then how much were your tickets for the train?
Let's see. It was about it wasn't much. I reckon it was about $5-7 or something like that each.
Yeah. They've dropped it significantly then. Because when I went, this was years ago, I had to get – because I left. I think I went over there for something and I stayed – because my family all live in Sydney. So I stayed with my auntie for a couple of days just to hang out and all that stuff. And I had to catch a train from like Parramatta to the airport and it cost me $25 for a ticket.
Fuck.
But again, that was like years ago. Yeah. Because I'm used to Adelaide where everything's like $5.
Yep.
And I did it like four times. And I've gone, I must be doing something wrong here. So I've gone to like the information girl and I've gone, look, I need to get to the airport. Every time I plug it in, it keeps coming up $25. And she's like, yeah, that's right. I'm like, it's public transportation. She's like, yeah, that's just the prices. I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Oh, fantastic. Josh, did you attend this show that I read about in Adelaide where the Bullet Click faced Elliot Sexton?
He
was on that show.
I was announcing and doing live-to-drive commentary for that, yes.
Tell me all about it.
Well, okay. Listen, wrestling-wise...
Let me put my feet up.
Before I go any further, I'd like to say that I love working for Steve and Spee, and they're a great team, and everybody backstage is rad now, and I enjoy doing the shows.
I don't know anything.
Well, wrestling-wise, it was great fun. I enjoyed the matches. But yeah, so the main event was intended to be... It was a championship-like tournament, so they had the first round... the previous show, and then it was time to have the finals. So the main event was supposed to be Elliot Sexton versus Maniac, and then Rocky comes out, whacks Maniac with a chair shot, and gives him a few stomps, and then Maniac, he can't fight in the main event later. And so then... Blake Stone, who was revealed as the fourth member earlier on in the night, he is basically put in by the Click members. They go, okay, right, we're putting him in as a replacement. And then later on in the main event, interference, Sexton ends up with the belt, and that was that.
Fantastic. Was this a series of shows? Like, was this a tournament type thing?
Well, originally Originally, I thought it was going to be stretched out over more shows, the actual tournament, but it was kind of wrapped up in a couple of shows. So now I guess the feud that looks like it's is taking place is Rocky Monero, Sexton, and Dean Valente against the Click.
Yeah.
What I can't understand here is how they sold the Maniac, who is like an absolute monster. They're getting taken out with a chair shot and stomps.
Who was doing the chair shot?
Someone
with like 14-inch arms or somebody who's big and jacked?
Oh, Rocky Monero.
He's a decent-sized guy. Yeah. Rocky Monero.
Is he big?
Yeah,
he's a big guy.
Well, fuck, dude. Maybe less is more. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't know. All I was interested in knowing was, like, if it was a tournament, because I noticed that those Bullet Club guys were going multiple times there, and that's what piqued my interest, is where is this place and what's going on?
Yeah.
And I knew, I saw something, I think, on Facebook about Sexton versus Maniac.
Yeah, so, see, I've seen so them a few times.
You were there.
Yeah, I was doing the show, yeah. Announcing, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good vibe. People happy. Good production.
Yeah, I really, really thought, like, you know, the production's been pretty good. Like, as far as, I don't know what the plans are for the video release down the track, but the quality of cameras and all the stuff we've been doing backstage with interviews and that has been actually been really of a really high sort of standard.
Well, look, as long as it's a starting point and it's another place to work and there are people that have a genuine passion, then fuck it, who cares? It's more places for guys to work, it's more places to get experience, and it's more places, you know, to do shit. So I hope they succeed.
Well, that's the way I've approached doing
the
show.
Looks like they're on the right track.
Sorry, what's that?
I said it looks like they're on the right track so far. If they've been running some consistent shows and they're bringing in, like, these guys, I don't know if these guys are bringing themselves in. I don't know what the situation is, but on paper, it looks pretty good. I don't know. I find it impressive.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know what the long-term plan is for the promotion and for these shows, but at the moment there's these five or six sort of shows that have been booked fairly close together. So, which, I mean, is a lot of bloody wrestling. I mean, that's the, like what you said about it being an extra place to work and get experience. I mean, that's the way that I've approached it, is that it's commentating with somebody different. It's a different backstage environment. You just get to see how different things are done somewhere else, because for the most part, I've worked Riot City for 6 years now, 6.5 years. So it's a really good experience. You know, there's good people I'm working with, like Paul on the commentary and Adam, who's sort of a new gun that we've found backstage doing the backstage interviews, who was one of the production crew but just has a really good head for wrestling. And I suggested, hey, all right, we're a couple of people short. I'll take care of the ring announcing. Put Adam in front of the camera because he's really good with these interviews and coming up with ideas. And sure enough, they came up with some really good stuff. So, yeah.
There you go.
So
that's it, so man. I'm a big fan of that.
Sorry. Have you been given any more dates past the ones that they've announced, or are they just seeing where it goes from there?
That's it at the moment. That's all I know is happening. I think the last show is booked for November or December or something like that. But it's, yeah, there's two or three more shows left in this series of shows. So, but it's a lot of bloody wrestling. Like I've never announced and been on so many shows in a short span of time. Like for the last couple of months, every 2 weeks, there's a show. If it's not a main Riot City show, it's one of the RCW live events at the Academy, where we're pulling, you know, 60 to 100, 120 people, and a lot of the young talent getting a really good go, trying different things, people getting hurt, but, you know, that happens, people get injured, and just it's been really awesome to have a lot to sort of do. It keeps you on your toes, keeps you thinking. You know, if something really clicks, you can put it into practice on the next show. You know what I mean? Because it's like fresh in the mind, and you might get into a good habit that you find a good groove with. Or yeah, no, it's just been really cool, fucking good. So
repetition's the father of learning, man. So the more you get to do it, the better you get.
That's it.
Hopefully. Hopefully. for the astute.
Todd's like, you haven't seen many of Josh's shows, have you? It's like that's like when I think it was the show that you were on, Ali, down here. And thanks to Luke Santa Maria's missus for pointing this out on Facebook, cheeky bastard. She goes, how can Big Brody Marshall be defending champion if it's not a title match? And I'm like, and at that point, he just won the belt too. So it was kind of like, that's actually a really fucking good point. Like, I'm like, well, he will be defending it at some point. You know, he did for like a year and a half.
He'll eventually defend it.
Eventually. Yeah. That's right. Yes. So. Yeah.
It's at his leisure.
That's it. Yeah. Because you were down and you were checking the show out. And I'm like, oh, you know, I want this guy to sort of, you know, I think I'm doing a good job. And then, of course, I pretty much fucked that up. Yeah, and it's your match as well, so I felt great about that. Yeah,
believe me, I wasn't. I wasn't chasing down Facebook commentary by any means. Was this on the commentary, or was this like on some kind of social media?
No, this was me
when he did your intro
when I was ring announcing you guys. Yeah.
Oh, when I was in the ring.
Yeah.
Oh, I was oblivious to this whole thing, dude.
Everybody is, dude, when it's me. Everybody is.
One of my favorite things, dude, is hecklers. I love when I get a heckler because I just, man, I'm a fan of stand-up comedy, and you deal with wrestling hecklers the same way you deal with stand-up comedy hecklers. Yep. You just got to slam them. You got to kill them. Destroy them. Make them regret that they ever opened their mouth. I loved it. It's my favorite part of wrestling.
If you're like the good guy commentator and you kind of are like the voice of the promotion, it's kind of hard. In your position, in Todd's position, you guys can fucking go nuts. Like, you guys can go wherever you want, really.
That's true. Yeah. But see, the downside is merchandise, you know? So, you know, it's the grass is green on both sides.
See, that's the thing. Up in Queensland, you don't have to worry about merch, so it's sort of... not really much gets sold.
I'm guessing Wrestle Merch Printing doesn't do much business up in Queensland, huh? Is that what you're telling me?
I would. Well, there's not much of a merch table. There's not even a merch table, I don't think. Not at least in AWA.
I'm trying to think if there's any promotions up there that have actually had stuff done by Wrestle Merch, but I cannot think of anybody off the top of my head. If anybody wants to correct me, go ahead. But I can't actually think of any.
I work for two promotions up here, and neither of them have merch tables or anything. Because that's the first thing I ask. Oh, where's your merch table? And all they have is like whoever's doing the tickets. There'll be like a little room next to them where if like a interstater comes up and they've got merch, they'll put it on there. But yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing: is that there is an obvious hole in the market up in Queensland. So Wrestle Merch Printing, if they're just satisfied with doing custom work for stars such as the Bestos and Dean Valente and whoever the hell else and Melbourne City Wrestling and blah, 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 blah.
Chris Basso.
Maybe they should make a direct marketing campaign to Queensland. Maybe they should take the initiative instead of trying to wrangle business through our hard podcasting work.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the t-shirts they use are so, they're premium. They are premium cotton, these t-shirts. They're absolutely mwah, beautiful. You wash them million times. They're not going to, asterisk on million, but you can wash them a fuckload of times. They're not going to rip. They're not going to, you know, fall apart. They're good tees. Tom knows what he's doing.
I'm telling you. And their friendly service is the exception to the rule of the shit service that we were talking about 20 minutes ago.
Exactly right. Somebody's got to uphold the positive end of customer service, and Wrestle Merch Printing are doing exactly that. That's what's happening there.
Right. If I didn't take my crap seriously and I decided to sell merchandise like 95% of the fucking heels in this country, I would probably buy it from Wrestle Merch Printing. I'm going to go ahead and go on record and say that right now.
That's a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good idea. And if you're not in Adelaide, they'll send it to you. They'll ship it to you. It comes to your door. How convenient. That's so convenient. That's not like when I drive to Hungry Jack's to get some junk food to feast out, because I'm a bit of a fatty these days. I go up there, I go and want to order a couple of Whoppers, and there's no beef left at Hungry Jack's. Okay, if you call up Wrestle Merch Printing, if you hit them up on their Facebook page, send a message, you're not going to get, oh, we've run out of T-shirts. We've run out of ink. That's not going to happen. That won't happen at Wrestle Merch Printing. I can guarantee it.
That's because Tom or Steve or whatever the guy's name is really takes pride in his work.
Engelbert. I'm pretty sure it's Engelbert at Wrestle Merch Printing, yes.
Yeah. For all your needs. So how's RCW doing?
RCW's doing great. We'd love to have you back sometime, I'm sure. That'd be fantastic.
Well, I was treated so terribly by yourself and by just everybody in general that I don't know. I'm a little brokenhearted about it.
Wasn't so much anyone else, it was the ring announcing that let you down.
Wasn't. Yeah. No, I'd love to come back. It's just a matter of finding somebody who isn't a pussy and who wants to go. So, you know, it's whatever, man.
Oh, by
let
the way,
down, boys, I got some open weekend.
I want to point out the fact that the little, interruption of the tribute to the late, great Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, baby, the American Dream, the Dusty Rhodes, baby. We're doing a tribute. We're doing a tribute to the American Dream. And Ali Vaez, man, he comes out there and he's all like being rude and stuff and interrupting the bell tolling. You did that again. You did that again at the King of Colac a few weeks ago.
Fuck yeah, I did.
Fucking well, great. It wasn't as effective purely because of the timing of the music hitting. It was done much better, I think, in RC Dub, but that's just me.
Oh, I agree. Well, you know, what can you do with Colac? however, I can't control the fact that Muhammad Ali died the day that I went and pulled a miracle out of sketch.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So, you know, there's a certain amount of stories that are in the human consciousness, and in certain situations it makes all the sense in the world to recreate, because the people in Colac that paid money to come see sketch were not at RCW and saw me do the Dusty interruption.
That's right.
Which I think I saw from somebody else. It's not like it's an original thing, but it was something. Again, we were talking about repetition is the father of learning. I've seen that thing play out like 10 or 15 times. So, you know, it's like, fuck, why not take advantage? I'm sure the Dream wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm sure he did it multiple times. So, you know, it is what it is. I just used it to get a little heat. And, yeah, it was fantastic.
I was actually only showing a couple of the guys up here the other day when the video when Dusty had his arm broken by the horseman.
How awesome was that?
That's what I was trying to tell him. I'm like, you got to know it, because the guys that I was talking to, like, they started watching wrestling after the Attitude Era. And they're like, oh, the Attitude Era. So, like, all that stuff was stolen from, like, back in the early, early days of Dusty in the NWA. And they're like, no. And I'm like, let me show you something.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, you're 100% right. I'm a total fucking mark for that stuff, for, like, the Horsemen and the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express, like that era. In some ways, I wish that I was in my athletic prime in 1985. But in other ways, it's like, fuck that, man.
Oh,
in 2016, it only takes 7 weeks to get your internet. So, you know.
Yeah. You would have made some money back in the 80s.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, so yeah. That's I had the worst possible timing. But yeah, in the '80s, or, you know, even if they, you know, I think that Muhammad Hassan gimmick had a shitload of potential, but it was too fast too soon. And they got carried away with it. If they had,
if they hadn't have put all those mask guys coming out and doing that spot, that would have, he probably still would have had a little bit more of a shelf life to him.
Hello. We are experiencing technical difficulties here at Wrestle Radio Australia. We will be with you after this break. Yeah, how good is like that NWA, the weekly show that's on the network, the Saturday night 6:05? That stuff is just, oh, so good.
Yeah, man, that's what I grew up on. So it's got a special place for me.
Yeah.
That's what fucking working was.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I know Josh knows I'm the biggest Horseman Arn Anderson fan. Like when Arn Anderson was on Raw this week, that popped me so much you'd wouldn't believe.
Yeah. I'm a fan of the guys back in the era where they could not talk to each other and go to the ring and work 30 to 45 minutes to an hour, 6 days a week. And just call the ring and draw money, you know, all that kind of shit is like what appeals to me from a nostalgia aspect when I look back on those things. But as a kid, I loved it. So, you know, I guess it serves its purpose.
I was listening to, Finn Balor on Jericho this week, and he was saying that Cena likes to call all his stuff out in the ring.
There you go.
They'll plan a start spot, maybe plan something else, but everything else he'll call.
Because that's the fucking art. We're not
exactly. All right,
yeah, I have very strong feelings about this, but like it's not I'm gonna plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G and go out there and do it and oh the audience sucked. No, you suck, Mark. the idea is to manipulate their emotions. You know what I mean? There's too much of an emphasis on like spots in this move. Who gives a fuck? If your move sucks or it's cool, if it doesn't make sense and it's not the right context, it doesn't fucking matter. So
I was working with the guy I've just started managing up here, and we were sort of going through his match, and I said to him, "Look, if you can hear that crowd starting to go for his comeback, cut your heat off. Just let him have his comeback. I don't care if you lose a minute of your match. Who gives a shit? Because the crowd will pop for it."
Well, how much experience did this guy have?
He's got about 4 or 5 years. But the thing is, like a lot of stuff up here, they're not taught psychology.
No, of course not. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's look. There's only so many people in the world who've done this and drawn money, and then they only live in a certain amount of places, so there's only a certain amount of access. And a lot of the wrestling business is access, who you know, and timing. Most of all, it's timing. So it is what it is. But you have to make a distinction on, like, I don't mean you. I'm just saying in general here. If you're going to be in this business, there's different flavors of ice cream. Some people like ECW. Some people like 9 super kicks and you don't sell any of them and then do 2 moonsaults. Flavors of ice cream. Nobody's right and nobody's wrong. My flavor of ice cream is that NWA shit that drew money, that didn't insult people's intelligence. Everybody knows coming in there that it's not real. Like, I'm not really going to fight Andy Phoenix over his Irish heritage. Get real. But if I'm good at what I do, you forget that it's a work because I'm entertaining you. You're not going to be, you know, there's a certain amount of set wrestling fans in every market, and they come to shows no matter what the fuck's going on. Then there's a peripheral amount of wrestling fans that'll come if there's some WWE former name on it. Then there's your casual person who's not going to buy a ticket unless there's some kind of effective marketing campaign or word of mouth. And that's the point where all those promoters make their money, is when they can get to that third ring and then cost outweighs – their profit is greater than the cost it does to run that show without paying an exorbitant fee to a guy from the United States. So that only comes about, though, because those mainstream-type people who aren't bought into professional wrestling, they're not going to sit there and understand some no-sell super kick spot from a guy who looks like he's 17 years old and has never worked out in his life. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
And again, I'm not talking about anybody specific, and that shit happens all over the world. It's not an Australian phenomenon, but I don't know. That's my flavor of ice cream, and that's what I love to do. But it makes me biased completely. That's why I do a show called Healing Out here on Russell Radio Australia.
A Occasionally.
I've been really lucky because guys that I've like managed and sort of learnt off, because that's who I've been put with, have been like Chris Basso and Adam Brooks. I had like ringside to listen to those guys talk people through matches, and it's just brilliant to watch.
Dude, both those Basso brothers are fucking phenomenal. I saw Matt a couple times before I came to Adelaide, down here for Zorn's company, and then I worked with him obviously at RCW, and then I saw him a couple more times down at Zorn's. He's fucking good. And then I saw Chris's match with Kellyanne that what was it, June last year, July, I don't even remember. Dude, so good. It's the fundamental. Look, I don't care about spots. I appreciate people's creativity and stuff like that, but I don't, what stands out to me is people that are always in the right place at the right time, that have proper footwork, that there's no wasted motion, that they're economical in what they do. Everything they do makes sense. They open, they close and stories, and they make their opponent look good.
And that's they engage the crowd too. They engage the crowd.
Oh, of course. Yes, because they're not memorizing a script, and instead they're listening and they're giving it to the people when they want it, and they're taking it away at the right time. It's not a mental masturbation of all the spots I thought of over the last 2 weeks that I've been waiting to do.
Was it this week? I saw some vision from it was one of the English indies, and it was just this unbelievable chain of moves that ended with a near fall. And I think my comment on there was like, I don't want to sound like a grumpy old dude, but if he had to do this to get a new near fall, what could you do that's realistic that would have him pinned?
But it's a double-edged sword, because over there in that UK market, they love that shit. That, look, I'm impressed with the athleticism that it takes to do that. And that's somebody else's flavor of ice cream. I'm talking from the boys' perspective, not the fans. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
The fans are fickle and they change their mind. But from the boys who do that, more power to you. That's just not my flavor of cup. But if that's what you do, I'm versatile enough, because what I do is make you look good. So I can do it with you. I just wouldn't do that if I was the chef, if I was the quarterback, so to speak.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. But I think I might be a little bit like you, where I'll take storytelling over 1,000 moves that look awesome.
Yeah, of course. Now, when I was 26, it was a completely different story. I was all about doing stupid shit and, you know, taking bumps on my head and doing just dumb shit because I thought it would make me stand out. So, and I understand the mentality. It's just I'm speaking with 13 years of experience, and if somebody who's 23 learns something from my 13 years, they can dramatically speed up their progress maybe and take advantage of opportunities. Because I would kill to be in my 20s right now with this fucking NXT deal that they got going on down there. That, oh my God, what an opportunity.
Yeah, because it seems that anyone who like genuinely wants to learn and has that inkling of talent, they'll bring out as much as they can from them.
Yeah, dude, it's OVW, except WWE owns it, and it's down in Florida. That's exactly what it was 10 years ago, except it's got way more production value, and obviously they broadcast it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was my time back then, was in the days of developmentals like kayfabe, and they don't talk about it or put it over. Whereas now, developmental's drawing money for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, in some cases, wasn't there? There was a report that came out that more people watched the Takeover special on the network than watched the SummerSlam.
Because it's a better show. Well, I don't know. I can't go and say that because I don't watch any of it. But I will say this: is I'm familiar with the format. I know Hunter's brain is a lot like, you know, he thinks a lot similarly to what we just talked about. And the show is based around wrestling as an athletic competition. It's not a bunch of nonsense, and it's not 3 hours to fill every week. Yep. It's one hour.
I think SummerSlam was 5 hours. How could you? I don't care what it is. For 5 hours of stuff, you're going to get bored of it eventually. And it doesn't matter what they do, it's not going to excite you.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, too, is there's shit we don't even know about, and there's reasons why they do that. So, you know, if you don't have enough money to buy out Vince, then you'll go crazy thinking about all these things that go on that are out. I'm telling you, dude, like, it took me a long time to just realize that the only thing I can control is my attitude and my physical appearance and how good I am fundamentally. Everything else is just, you're going to see stupid shit. You're going to see crazy shit. You're going to see stuff that challenges your morals. It's a very unique business in that aspect. So, you know, I don't know, dude. At this point, nothing surprises me.
Now, you just said you don't really watch it. Now, you've got this – this is just a general question. They've got this new team, this the Authors of Pain in NXT, right? Two massive guys, and they're managed by Paul Ellering, but they still haven't let them do a promo. Like, they haven't let Paul Ellering do a promo at all. I can't work out.
Here's my first question. Look, not everybody needs a microphone.
No.
Not that Paul Ellering isn't a good promo, but I'm guessing these guys look physically impressive, right?
They're big dudes. They are big dudes, yeah.
Okay. Can they work? Do you know their backgrounds or who they are?
I think they were power lifters.
Yeah. I saw their match with TM61.
Yeah, TM.
And that was, I really enjoyed it, but, you know, it hit, excuse me, it hit their weaknesses and it accentuated their positives. I thought it was actually a brilliant, and you've got Shane and Mikey in there, that helps because they're amazing, but I really enjoyed it for what it was, because I was like, yeah, this is how you want to present these guys, that there's ways of maybe taking them down and using like the aerials and that sort of thing, but, you know, if it's two blokes on their feet, you know, they're going to probably have the advantage, and like, I just liked the way that the match was done.
Yeah,
you know.
What I'm saying, though, is to get them over, you've obviously put Paul Ellering with them for a reason. Why wouldn't you sort of use him?
Yeah.
That's the only question I have.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are these guys presented as heels?
Yeah.
Are they getting a rub from the Legion of Doom at all?
They have mentioned, but there's no real... It's not like they don't wear face paint. They don't wear any gear that's any way resembles.
But that is Paul Ellering there to give them the rub of the Road Warriors? Would be my question.
The way it was put over on commentary today, yes, I would say so.
Okay.
Okay, and their heels, you said?
Yeah.
And does he get involved at all?
No.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I would guess, man, that like, look. Look, if I had, and I don't know the rest of the landscape, but you have a 1-hour show to fill. That's it. And you have key storylines that you have to get over in that time. So is it necessary to give them a promo? Maybe they're going to build them up in the way where they're just going to give them a lot of competitive matches, but they're going to give them dominant wins. And then when Paul Ellering says something, it's going to mean something.
I think
instead
that's,
of just starting off.
Yeah, I think that's part of the mystery at the moment is that Paul Ellering has maybe said two words and the rest of it is him at ringside doing the stick to the plan and all this sort of stuff and just being a manager on the outside that's mentoring his team, these two big monsters. But I kind of like that in the way that they're just sort of teasing it and letting them beat dudes and letting them beat teams and just sort of creating a bit of a mystery. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. To be honest, hey, less talking segments in 2016 is not a bad thing, unless they're of quality or they mean something. You can feel it.
Yeah, but that was my only question. Is like you'd put a guy who is obviously a good talker, but yeah, haven't actually let him talk yet. But if they're building him up like that, I can totally understand that.
Yeah. Here's a supplemental question: is who's the top tag team on the show right now?
Heel or face? Because
who are the champions?
The Revival.
And are they working in a feud with somebody else?
I don't know if that's still going, but they were with Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah, I get the impression that they're just going to be a team now that's going to take on all comers. But they're presented as heels. They're like they present them very much in a Arn and Tully vein, Brainbusters style. That's perfect. Really what they go for when putting them over.
Perfect. So let's go with that and say that the heel tag team champions will continue to get themselves over by working any and all teams that they throw together to face these guys. And in the back burner, you've got this potential Road Warrior-ish tag team that may get over as babyfaces, because they're big and jacked and do cool shit, like powerful stuff, Goldberg-type shit. Or they may be better off as heels. In that case, let's put them with the manager. But if Paul Ellering plays his hand and cuts that promo, he's taken a step in one direction, babyface or heel.
Yeah.
And instead,
yeah, that's a good point.
Organically, or it's NXT. It's the stakes aren't as high, and Vince isn't going to micromanage it. So why not let them organically see what happens and if they get over? If they get over, why fight it? If they don't get over and they work like flashy babyfaces, hey, boys, you should work like your fucking size. And they tune the gimmick up a little bit. But that totally happened. That's what developmental's for. So that would be my guess. Yeah, but you never know, dude. Maybe he had the fucking flu and he couldn't talk. So they had to write his promo segment out. You never know, man. It's second guessing shit like that again. You'll go crazy, man.
Yeah.
What you need to do is find yourself a millionaire who's a wrestling fan, and then you can do it right.
I've heard this theory before.
Yes, well, I stick by it. I'm still on the lookout.
Yeah, it's the only anyway, fucking theory that's going to work at the moment, the way that, because I did this on, I just do this all the time where I sit there going, why the fuck can't we draw more? How are we going to get the asses in seats? Why, our production's great, our wrestling's great, we should be getting more than 250, 300. What's the deal? And then you just go, we just need a shitload of money. That's all we need. That will do it.
Get real.
Also, there's the sport for choice of stuff people can do on the weekend.
Yeah.
Really.
100%. Not only on the weekend. We live in a consumer media culture. There's shit to do 24 hours a day. There's enough media that you could just watch shit for the rest of your life and you wouldn't see it all. So there's an overabundance of shit to do. As good as Dusty and Arn and Flair were, let's get real. Back in 1986,
they had no competition.
Mississippi, there wasn't shit going on a Tuesday night. So why not go see Ric Flair and the Horsemen or whatever the fuck? Not saying that, those guys weren't great, because they obviously were and they drew money. But that's the reality of the wrestling business today, is if you have a wrestling TV show, you got to look at be realistic and look at the scope of the show first off, and then realize second of all, you're competing against fucking Game of Thrones. So does your shit look good or does it look like a shitty hard camera set up in a high school gym?
And it really, if I wanted to last weekend, I could have sat in on Saturday and watched, I think it was Evolve through the Fight app, and you just send it straight to your TV. Sunday, I could have watched the ROH pay-per-view. Sunday I could have watched the ROH pay-per-view, TakeOver, and UFC. And then Monday I could have watched SummerSlam. I wouldn't even have to leave my house. I don't have to worry about parking. I don't have to worry about buying tickets. I don't have to worry about any of that. Yeah. So
there's a niche market for the intimacy of in-person. So what I mean by that is there's a certain segment of – there's certain people who are familiar with the concept of pro wrestling. And they understand what it is and they like it enough that they'll buy 15,000 tickets to go see it, like in downtown Melbourne, for instance. Now, the local companies on a great night are lucky to pull in 8% of that. So what's the difference? Well, obviously brand perception, brand awareness, quality of the show, market saturation. There's 1,000 reasons why. But if you get the guys over, if the boys get over, however they can, and they themselves attract tickets, well, they get leverage on the actual companies themselves, but more so, they become a draw. and then there's a business to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The days of just putting a poster on a telephone pole are fucking over. Nobody gives a shit or is going to read it. And they may stop depending upon the picture. If it's a picture of Josh Shooter on the poster, they may stop to think it's some kind of gay strip party thing with how short his shorts are. You know what I mean? Something like that. Then they'll see it's wrestling and, oh, okay. Then you got a certain percentage chance that they're going to come. Now, assume that they come. Depending upon your presentation, are they going to come back realistically?
That's the biggest thing I fight with promoters up here in Queensland, is telling them about presentation.
Well, the reality is, too, I see it from both sides, man, because, like, from their standpoint, it's their money. I completely understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying the reality situation. Like, RCW is above average by a long stretch of imagination.
They've also had, like, 11, 12 years of building that up, too. So exactly. it wasn't like day one they had all that stuff. They slowly built it up.
I agree. But see, the thing that makes it stand out is, look, there's certain training schools where they've been around for 10, 12 years too, but they have morons at the helm. So the thing that's different about RCW is the Basso brothers fucking get it. Just that's the plainest, simplest way that I can say it. It comes across based on how it's such a team effort there and how respectful their students are and the fact that there are student shows and they draw a consistent house no matter how much the number is, and hopefully the trend is upwards. And as they make more money, they invest it back into the show. They're doing shit in a smart, systematic way, and they're led by passionate guys that know what they're doing. It's really a great situation.
Well, that's the thing is that, the money that's made on shows and whatnot, it all goes either back into the shows or back into the training facility. Like, that's the way it goes. And that's why there's been a consistent improvement as far as not just the live production and the audio-visual side of it, but it's also the quality of the young people that are coming through and having their first half a dozen matches, and you're like, this guy's only had three matches? Like, you're completely blown away because the level of the training and the fitness side of things, and, you know, there's young guys down there that, you know, aren't jacked and aren't huge, but, you know, they've got the fundamentals and they've got the right mindset and they're good people and all this sort of stuff, and that goes a bloody long way, you know? And so it's...
Absolutely. Yeah,
but also they're also smart enough where, like, Cray and Maddie will make sure that they all work to their size.
Yes.
So exactly. You might be the little biggest, things like that.
You might be the biggest jack guy, so you're not going to throw an F5 on a dude.
Yeah, for sure. And plus, I saw and learned to never dismiss people, because I saw some of the most physically unimposing people. Just you couldn't win a fight in their fucking life and looked like it. But say they were some of the most talented performers, like as underdog baby faces or as comedic characters and shit. I saw it happen numerous times with people who my initial instinct was, oh, you're a fucking goof. But then there's been people who I thought, Jesus Christ, you're going to fucking main event at WrestleMania in 3 years. And nobody ever heard of them because something happened and they fucked off 6 months later or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's so many variables that go into whether you can find a place to either be trained or to perform at. And for all those variables to be right in that one location that you have there, Josh, that's pretty awesome. It's above average. Like, a lot of places in the United States are not like that. You have, you know, they say it's not just limited to Australia or United States. It's just business-wide. You have shady operations. You have dodgy shit. You have retards who should spend more time listening than talking, doing the talking. Yeah. And, you know, it's the blind leading the blind and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then there are places that get it. And those are the places that usually tend to make a profit and have good presentation. And, you know, it shows in every level. Yeah. Make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You did a seminar up here not long ago. Did they get a decent turnout for it?
For the seminar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I was happy with it, man. There was, I don't even remember. I want to say 19, maybe.
Okay, it's not bad.
Yeah, there was a good mix. Couple girls, females. there was a couple dudes. There was a couple referees. There was a good mix. There was a good mix. And there was a couple people that definitely I see potential in. But
yeah,
overall, man, look, my philosophy is this, is I was lucky to be in the right place at the right time and the right ethnicity to get opportunities that maybe other people didn't get. And if I can pass on some of that information or knowledge that I gained and I can improve the scene here, maybe it can be a situation where people can make decent money and work a territory system in this country that has good production value, because the companies are trying to make money and know how to make money. And at the same time, the talent can get over in the territory and then sell themselves up the ladder to WWE. It's a win-win for all.
Yeah.
Just quickly.
So if that means, go ahead.
Oh, do you think that, because I mean, with the UK promotions, especially like your Progress and things like that, and even in the States with PWG, and whatnot, the video on demand or the DVDs, that's become a really big component of their success. Early on, when I was first watching independent wrestling, when I started training, and Chris Basso was the one who sort of gave me a few ROH and PWG DVDs and just said, hey, check this stuff out, you know, this is different. And it was bloody different, because I wasn't used to that style of wrestling, you know. And nowadays with like Progress and ICW over there in the UK, like they're really doing a lot of good business with the videos and DVDs and whatnot. Do you think that that's a component that more promotions here need to maybe look at, or do you think that, you know, if we haven't nailed the live aspect of it, the fact that when you pay your ticket, you want to get your money's worth, we've got to start with that aspect of it first before we get too carried away? Because there's promotions here that, like, you could tell that if they put it on video, it wouldn't look too bad. Especially like Newcastle Pro Wrestling, they're selling out their venue, they're turning people away every month. And I'd love to be able to sit down and watch a multi-cam, you know, video of one of their shows, because what they're doing is bloody awesome. But
is that the one that Bonza is involved in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Bonza's. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. He's another guy who knows what the fuck he's doing. So
yeah, exactly.
There's a correlation here to, you know, I don't know, man. I'm a fan of being as many places as possible to work. But the other problem is I think it's too niche of an entertainment product, and people aren't aware that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing with Australian wrestling, in my humble opinion, being here for 15 months, is that 99% of the time people ask, oh, there's wrestling here?
Yeah.
So they don't have big budgets. I understand that. And television networks aren't exactly warm to the idea. So that I understand. But the difference is just money. If I'm telling you, even if Matt Basso met himself a millionaire one, like, let's say some woman had $20 million but was crippled, but she was into some Matt Basso, and they got married, and he got $20 million, and suddenly he could put, like, you know, even 1/20th of that money into his production value, he could make a legitimate run and get on a national television show, and then it just goes from there and there. The fundamentals in this and the things are there. You can't control that. And from the talents aspect, I'm glad that places like there exist, because you can hone your craft. But that's the only difference, dude. These companies like over in England that are doing well, they're doing well because they're featuring a certain niche style of wrestling. And that niche style of wrestling is gotten over by the boys who do that shit.
Yeah.
So, for instance, the Young Bucks or Ospreay or Ricochet, these guys that's their flavor of ice cream. There's a certain segment of fans that like that. There are promotions that brought those guys over to sell their craft. People bought it. Boom. If they're not going to chase money away, they're going to feature that. So fans are fickle, but at the same time, if you give him a credible product, if you put, let's go full circle. If you put Elliot Sexton and Wayne the fucking Maniac on my television screen, that would be a believable main event where somebody would actually stop and watch and give it a chance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, one's a good looking dude. Was he a babyface? Was Sexton a babyface?
In MCW, yeah.
No, no, he's talking about
the AWA show.
No, he's the heel.
Yeah, for the AWA show.
The Click is the babyface.
He's the heel.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you got Wayne the Maniac, this guy who looks like a superhero straight out of a comic book, who was dastardly attacked earlier in the fucking night, and you got this fucking asshole, Elliot Sexton, who just thinks he's the shit, but he's a pussy because he tried to take out Wayne the Maniac. You know what I mean? That's your story.
Yep.
And the guys look like fucking athletes. And they look like somebody that doesn't necessarily work at Target or could mow your lawn or something like that. They look like credible fucking athletes. So it helps me suspend my disbelief because it's on television, so it's not real. But does it suck me out enough? I know Star Wars isn't fucking real, but if I see the boom mic sticking down, it's going to take me out of the scene, no matter how cool it is or no matter what it is.
Yep.
So
yep.
If your presentation is that way and you have the budget and you have the platform to do that, and I firmly believe if you have the budget to do it, you can get the platform. It's just a matter of not, you know, doing stupid, crazy shit and thinking about it from a business standpoint of these national broadcasting companies are not going to want to have some guy going through a flaming table covered in thumbtacks on their 7 o'clock spot on Thursday night. So be mindful of the product that you want. Deliver it in a succinct, well done, pre-done package. And you have a serious shot at getting market penetration and getting paid for it. Not paying for your time.
Does the channel, whatever it is, I can't remember what the channel is for Outback, does that pay off in regards to like crowd draw?
Fuck, I have no idea. I'll tell you this: is that I had a conversation with one of them back in July of last year. And I had been there for a couple months. And my question was why is there no live event advertising or television taping advertising dates on the current television product? So what's the purpose of television? The purpose of television is to sell fucking tickets.
Yeah, to sell your live game.
Television, exactly. So television is a commercial for your live events. That's your business model. Otherwise, why do you have television? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Especially if you're not getting any money from the advertisers on that show.
Exactly. So now I believe it serves a valuable function, if for nothing, the boys, because at least they get a half-ass experience of working towards a hard camera and the rudimentary basics of working a television show so that they're better prepared for going bigger and better places. So it serves a good function in that standpoint. But to me, that disconnect makes absolutely no sense. Your television show should be derived to sell tickets, period.
Mm.
And that's literally how you measure how over a talent is.
If you like this action, we're here this date, coming up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, even Snake Pit, who have their show on Channel 44 here in Adelaide, even they, on the show, at some point, they will tell you when they're having a show. I mean, that's just kind of a given, isn't it, that you do that?
That's exactly. Exactly. So, for instance, okay, so that's one example. Now, another example was this, and I'm going to leave names out of this. However, this was a specific incident that bothered me and blew my mind. So, we've got wrestler A, and we've got wrestler B, and we've got wrestler C. Wrestler C is currently a babyface at the start of this story. Wrestler B is an underdog babyface. Wrestler A is a monster heel who's kind of green but has a lot of potential. Wrestler A and Wrestler B, so the monster heel and the sympathetic babyface, had a program. And that program was 6 months long with an entire backstory that led to their actual feud. All of this was televised. Now, let's assume that it costs the OCW company somewhere in the neighborhood of, let's say, I don't know, $200 an episode because they got to edit it and blah, 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 and all the costs that realistically go into producing the final product for air. So if you have a feud that goes on for 6 months at $200 an episode, that's what? That's $800 a month times 6 months. That's $4,800 investment over 6 months. Plus, don't forget that you're paying these guys. Let's assume you're paying them the minimum, $50 a show. So that's $100 a show times 6 months. That's another $600. That's a $5,400 investment so far in wrestler A, the monster heel, versus wrestler B, the sympathetic babyface. Mind you, wrestler C is in the background cooking as a babyface. He is, for instance, your Paul Ellering character at the NXT show. He's cooking in the background for a later date. The company has invested, what now, $5,800 so far in the angle of getting this guy over as a fucking monster. Eventually, wrestler B got his comeuppance against wrestler A. Okay, so they paid that off, but they did it in a smart way that didn't bury the fact that wrestler A was a monster killer fucking heel who in real life is 6 foot three, 200 whatever fucking pounds. You know what I mean? He's a gigantic guy and he fits the part. How much money has been invested in the concept that wrestler A is a heel? A lot. $6,000 now so far for a fucking TV show. With a TV show that doesn't advertise when its live events are. $6,000 in this concept. Then you put him, they fuck off, there's a cooling off period, wrestler A meets wrestler C. Wrestler C has a feud for a couple months with wrestler A. So that's 3 months. Again, more math. It comes out to what? We're up to $8,000 now by the time you add in three more months of television production plus paying talent. So we've invested $8,000 in wrestler A being a fucking monster. And in one match, wrestler C went out there and buried the fuck out of wrestler A and undid all of that in front of a live, crowded, packed audience. An $8,000 investment over almost now 9 months into a specific talent. And somebody else came in there and just got their shit in, and it killed it. They didn't see the bigger picture. So if you have guys who organically are starting to get it over and shit is where they could become legitimate draws, in my opinion, you'd be smart to promote them properly so they get it over, they drive ticket sales. It gives them leverage, but at the same time, your job as a company is to promote the talent because that's what you're selling.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And all that shit can be undone just like that without somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing helping out or at least guiding guys.
Yeah. So you mean like having people agent their matches saying this is what we want and this is what are you doing? That sort of deal?
You don't have to micromanage it that much. The question should be, especially if it's a television product, the question should be, what is the business? Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yep.
I'm an Al Snow trained guy. I didn't make any of this shit up. But this is what I was taught, and this is my outlook on the business. Is what is the business? Why is wrestler A in this match with wrestler B? What is wrestler C's objective? Where is wrestler C going in 3 months? How does he fit into the overall package? Does that make sense?
Where do we want to be in 6 months with this guy?
Exactly. And if the talent doesn't know, it's real hard to work backwards.
Yeah.
If you don't know where you're going to. So it makes all the difference in the world. If I know, like, okay, let me give you a prime example. Sketch in fucking Colac sells a lot of tickets. Right? So let's say it's in the company's interest for me to do a show with Sketch and to make him look like $1 million, and I go and I do that job, that makes me valuable. Mm-hmm. If I go and I fuck it off and everybody boos and blah, 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 I've done a disservice to the company. I'll probably be fired as an independent contractor. Make sense? So
yeah.
it goes across the board. If that makes sense. I totally trailed off and went on a tangent there, guys.
At least in Colac, as an independent contractor, if you want to leave Colac, you can do just that. Which, by the definition of independent contractor, that should be the case. So, but let's not go there, because we'll be here true. All fucking night if we start on that. Jesus, the politics of that side of the world. Jeez, wow.
Yeah, you tell me. So yeah, long story short, man, is if you present a credible product, any product, and you market it right, dude, it gets over, man. There's nothing like seeing a live wrestling show.
Yep.
With guys that don't insult your intelligence and know what they're doing. And then at a high level, know how to work business and know how to work backwards. Instead of getting their shit in because that's what they want to do that night, they think about what the bigger picture is, what sells tickets, and work accordingly. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a thing too, isn't it? It's a thing about having a whole group of guys that know the direction and are happy to work towards that direction and know their role in the show.
Yeah, but it's a – look, I'm not – I don't blame guys because you have to look at it from different perspectives. From an independent contractor pro wrestler standpoint, I want to get booked as many places as possible. So how do I go about doing that? Well, I got to talk to the promoters. Once I talk to the promoters and I get a foot in the door, what do I have to do? I have to get over. Well, how do I get over? Well, I make people make noise. How do I make people make noise? I know. I'll do everything I know how to do in this 5-minute match because it'll make people make noise and the promoter will book me again. And because this promoter's booking me again, this promoter might want to book me again. And the whole while, it's the blind leading the blind. And I think I'm over, but I'm really actually retarded and I don't know anything, but I may have a lot of physical potential. But nonetheless, the more places there are to work, the better I'll get at my craft. So if you have somebody steering the ship who has money, who has a vested interest, and then the knowledge, and then the talent, I'm telling you, we can make a lot of money, bro.
If I ever finish paying off this house, mate, I'll try and look into it.
Hey, there we go. If Ellie ever wins the lottery, then Maddie Bass, we're sorted, mate. We are sorted.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Roy Medley, counting on it to win the lottery.
Yeah.
I got a couple other guys that have assured me that if they win the lottery, they'll be involved.
Pretty sure, but doesn't Roy have to work out reincarnation first before he can get everything else off the ground? Because I'm pretty sure half of those guys you mentioned were dead.
Listen, let's assume Roy Medley does win the lottery, and I'm talking at least over $20 million that he's willing to invest in this venture. I'll have a serious conversation with him, and our talent budget will dramatically be reduced. I promise you that.
And you will be working Rey Mysterio whether you like it or not. It's in the contract.
Well, I'll just do that. Yeah, I'll just do that at, let's call it Slam-a-Mania, the big event that they hold in the parking lot of where the fuck WrestleMania is. So half the fucking marks in this country can go watch fucking WrestleMania live. And they can come see Slam-a-Mania where I'll work Rey Mysterio. But otherwise, I would want to just run the show from a backstage perspective and give the spotlight to others.
Aw.
$20 million, bro. This is serious fucking money. I don't want to fuck this up. Let's make money. It's no egos aside. Look, you want me to work Rey Mysterio? Okay, I understand it. Fine. I'll work Rey Mysterio. No problem. He gets 20 grand, I get 200, no problem. I'll do it. But let's look at the bigger picture here.
And
that would be my angle with Roy Medley.
What a great way to nearly take us home there. Look at the bigger picture and roll on with the punches from there, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the business? Ask yourself that.
Where's the money, baby? With the money.
Exactly. And I know for a fact Dusty would have approved that 10 bell salute interruption.
Oh, fuck.
I remember you saying that.
It was about 2 minutes before show time, but right before, like, it was like right before we all went through the curtain and kicked off the show, and it was that thing of like, fuck yeah, man, Dusty would have loved that shit. He would love that shit. Let's do it. Let's fucking do it. Bang. So good.
I remember standing behind the sound guys, because I was the one to give the cue to play your music, and I'm like trying to hold back my laughing because I'm like, this is the most shittiest thing you could possibly do. This is so good.
Yeah, bro. I'm not there to sell t-shirts.
But hey, you are here to put asses in seats. Have you got any dates coming up fairly soon, Ali, where people can see you in the ring?
Platinum Wrestling here in Werribee, the neighborhood that I'm soon to be moving out of, is, fuck, I don't know, man. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I got Warzone too, a couple other things. We'll see.
Very
How
cool.
How's that been, by the way, the reboot of Warzone? Just quietly, just quickly.
I enjoy it, man. It's a very conscientious effort to make it a dumbed down, basic, good wrestling product with credible looking guys that, you know, it's done on a quarterly basis to try to see what works, what doesn't, as far as promotional aspects and that kind of stuff. They're tinkering with it. So as far as the work in the show, I enjoy it. It's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doing the Donald Trump bit over there, and I enjoy it. It's fun. And I think I'm going to just start doing that.
You're going to build a wall.
Yeah, I'm just going to start doing it consistently. Fuck yeah, dude. So there you go, man.
Yeah.
I always enjoy it, man. It's a good crew, and there's guys that I've been wanting to work with Carlo Cannon for a while, and I got the chance to do it there. So it's like places where he doesn't work or he works places that I don't work. It's like a nice melting pot. So it gives me more opportunities.
I think he's only really working Warzone now, isn't he?
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's look, there's always room. There's always room, and it's literally the more places there are to work, the more practice the boys get, the better they become, the more repetitions under the belt they get, then the better prepared they're going to be when they inevitably get an opportunity if they try hard enough for one, if that makes sense.
Beautiful.
If I could have 6 more war zones in this country, it'd be phenomenal. If I could have 6 more RCWs in this country, it'd be phenomenal because, you know, the better the talent pool, man. A rising tide raises all ships. I firmly believe that.
Beautiful.
And Todd, have you got anything coming up?
I will be September the 3rd at Bundamba, I think it is, Pacific Pro Wrestling.
Bundamba,
I'm not actually on the show, but I am Bundamba. I'll be working in a backstage facility there. Then on September the, was it the 10th?
The 10th down is Saturday, RC-Dub. Yep, that's it. The City Rumble.
Yes, I shall be there. I don't know if I'm on the show, but I shall be at least going down there to visit. I'm going to try and get on 2 shows in one night because we're recording a promo for AWA up here. Try and get 2 shows in one night.
You're going to be doing your best Rick Rude circa late 1997.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And then I think it's the 23rd after that, we're in Toowoomba or somewhere like that. I can't remember from somewhere because I don't have my calendar. I know we're doing an all-ages show for AWA where I shall be managing the Prodigy to another victory, of course.
And you love that because you can hold a mic in front of a live crowd and drop a few F-bombs.
Not the all-ages show, but the normal shows, yeah.
Yeah, the over-ages.
Yeah, the Grindhouse shows, yeah, it's no holds barred there, and the crowd don't really hold anything back, and we don't really hold anything back when we go back at them, so it's kind of fun.
That's right, because you said all ages, it's up there, it's kind of a, I guess all ages shows are a novelty, because there's so many 18-plus gigs around, like the Grindhouse, and I think UPW have done 18-plus as well.
Yeah, I mean, AWA Grindhouse do a lot of their shows, or most of their shows, out of the New Globe Theatre.
Yep.
Which is right in like the nightclub sort of district of Brisbane. And that's always just the R-rated show. So And that was like the first time I did the show there with the Over 18 show. I realized I swore way too much just because for the first time I was allowed to swear.
Right, yep.
I got to the back. I was like, maybe I shouldn't have said all that stuff, but it's done now. But yeah. So yeah, then the 23rd there, and then I'm not too sure dates after that. So there you go.
There we go.
I've got like 4 dates in 4 weeks. So
we're packed.
And that's that.
Packed and stacked, yes. And that's that. Very cool.
So you'll be at the Rumble, Joshua?
Yes, Wright City Rumble. Be calling the action with Sean Fuster, the Wordsmith, and Wolfdog. And that's going to be very cool. Love the Wright City Rumble because, you know, being a Rumble, there's always bound to be a few surprises. So that'll be good. And then we've got, actually before that, we have Australian Wrestling All-Stars, Full Circle, here on the show. That's September 3rd, so next Saturday night. And I think there's a Jag versus Damian Slater and a few other matches on, which I'm not too sure of at the moment. But yeah, there's actually some pretty good matches on that card. So if you're in Adelaide, check it out. And Wright City Rumble, September 10. It's going to be a beauty, that. So yes, all over it. Busy.
I don't have Cree watching my back fry, so I will not be in this Rumble. I can confirm that.
Yes, keep that undefeated. Well, it's a Rumble, so yeah, technically it doesn't go towards the win loss ratio. But yes, keep that win loss record intact.
Being eliminated myself, I don't count that as a win or loss. So.
Yes, technicalities. Thank you very much, yes, guys. Much appreciated that you both joined us here tonight. And yeah, we'll get to, I don't know, we'll get this happening again sometime. Thank you, Ali, and thank you, Todd. It's been really cool.
Thanks, Josh.
Peace.
And don't forget, check us out at WrestleRadioAU on Twitter. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, FNX.network. That's where you can find us. Every episode is up there a few hours after it is actually posted on iTunes. And also Facebook. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia. You'll find us there. Big thank you, Wrestle Merch Printing, Thunderstag for our theme music, although I've probably got some different music on the front of this episode. We'll see. And FNX.network. Big thank you to you guys. Todd, Ali, thank you. My name's Josh Armour, and we'll catch you at the matches. Peace.
It's like you said that 100 times.
Just
My name is Vince Russo, and if I had to book a podcast on a pole match, there's only one worth claiming for, bro, and that, bro, is Butts in Seats Podcast, bro.
Well, there's nothing the referee can do about it because he's not really using the chair.
You could bring a fucking machine gun into the ring, but as long as you don't shoot somebody, it's fucking illegal.
I'm just going to leave this handgun sitting right here on the edge of the ring. It's okay.
There's nothing the referee can do about it.
I'm not going to use it.
iTunes, Stitcher, Butts in Seats Podcast, bro. Bro. Bro.
This is Jake Johnston with the world's almost finest podcast, reminding you that if you love listening to discussions around movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all kinds of other awesome stuff, then head on over to fnx.network and click on the world's almost finest. Give us a shout out, let us know what you think, listen to our episodes, we got plenty on there to go through. The world's almost finest podcast, a proud member of the FNX Network.
Hey yo, listen to me, man. If you want a podcast about WCW and the NWO, Butts in Seats, man.
And I noticed right here that Yokozuna's nose is legit the same width as his mouth. That's kind of nice that Bill Cosby looks at it and goes, that right there is one gigantic motherfucking nose.
Aww. Butts in Seats, man. Other podcasts can't even get in the building, man.
Hey, I'm Will, the host of the podcast From the Sidelines, proud members of the FNX Network. I'm here to tell you why you should listen to our show. Do you need a comprehensive look over all the sporting happenings in the world on a weekly basis? Then you need From the Sidelines. Me and the guys discuss the bizarre, the serious, and the downright weird in sport every week. Seriously, one week we talked about jousting. It was so weird. If you love sport, you'll love our show. So come and join us as we look at sport from the sidelines.
Listen to me, man. If you want a podcast about WCW and the NWO, Butts in Seats, man.
Even for hot, inside this like Pearl Jam.
Butts in Seats, man. Other podcasts can't even get in the building, man.